This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. The legislative session is in full swing, and during the State of the State, Governor David Ige talked about sustainability and our green energy goals. We sat down recently with Scott Glenn, the new head of the State Energy Office. He talked about the need to engage with communities as more green projects get underway. We also talked about whether or not we reached that benchmark of 10,000 electric vehicles last year.
Last time you and I met, I was just coming into the Energy Office from my previous position at the Office of Environmental Quality Control. So the transition point, the Energy Office had released a report saying we had exceeded 10,000 EVs in the state. And folks were really celebrating that. And it's a good cause to celebrate, right? That's an important milestone, both for us, the economy, our goals psychologically. And the very next month, my first full month on the job, we released a report saying we had 8,600 EVs. And everyone said, where'd they go?
Yeah,
fair question. And I think we were a little surprised as well. It doesn't make sense for that. And as we looked into it, we realized it was a data error, that the way that the data gets collected and reported, it was changed. And we weren't alerted to that. And I think the way when it got changed, because there's a whole lot of folks involved in generating this data and preparing it, that the changes that were made to how the data gets collected and reported, and the folks who did that didn't realize the impact it might have on how the EV number gets counted.
There was a hiccup.
Right, and so we didn't see it then, and then by the next month, we had realized, oh, there's a hiccup, and we started to zero in on it. We figured out, okay, this is what the hiccup is, but at that point, it's too late to fix that number. We're looking forward and trying to figure out, okay, now let's work the data in a way that we know all the steps in it, what happens to it, why it's reported the way it is, and we try to get to a better count of EVs. Most likely, we're above 10,000 and probably even 11,000, but that's something that we still want to confirm.
So it might be that we actually hit that number sooner than we thought.
Most likely, and one of the big things that we realized in that hiccup was that state vehicles were not being counted as part of our EV pool. Coming into this session, it's a supplementary budget year. So that means last year, the main budget was set up, the main policies were set, and that's what we're mainly working on. Governor, the Senate President, and the Speaker announced a package that they're focused on for this supplemental budget year. As the Energy Office, we tried to take a more focused approach that this is a year to get things done and just ask for things to help us approach issues that have emerged since last year's budget. One, to start looking at how we handle waste from the clean energy side. Folks are asking, what happens to solar panels at the end of their life? You know, we've done a lot to really put solar on rooftops, and, you know, they reach the end of their life cycle after 15 years or however long it is, and then where do they go? What do we do with it? Folks are asking with wind turbines, what happens to the blades? What happens if one breaks? What happens if one needs to be repaired or replaced? Where do they go? And EV batteries, same thing. And I think that's a really important question that I don't know that there's an answer to at this point.
So I guess we need to look to see what other jurisdictions are doing, you know, other places around the world.
Right.
Because there are some countries that are far ahead of the U.S.
Right, exactly, in Japan and other places. So, and you know, we're an island. We don't have a lot of space. We don't want to fill up the landfill that we do have if we don't have to with waste. So we want to be proactive and start looking. How do we handle the material flow? You know, we bring these technologies to our islands, and then when they reach the end of their lifespan, what can we do with them after that, especially if we can get to a circular economy where things that reach the end of their useful life in this way can still be used in another way somewhere else or another way to look at it. So I think that's an important way to help the islands be more sustainable by figuring out that question ahead of time.
I think I saw something online where somebody was grinding down those really large wind turbines to use that material for something else just because they're so enormous.
Mm-hmm. And there might be, and I'm not familiar with that, but we might have some other ways that we can do that. Or at the very least, do we put it on the empty ocean-going shipping vessels and take them back to somewhere where they came from?
So that's one big thing that you're looking at. Has anything changed in your office just as far as its mission?
The legislature made some changes to the Energy Office. And it's Act 122 for anyone who wants to go check it out. The main thing that it did was it pulled it out and it turned it into what we call an attached agency. So it's now kind of a standalone office with the chief energy officer, and that's the role I'm in. And the chief energy officer and the office are now directly responsible to the governor and the legislature and to the public. So we now have more visibility, more responsibility, and more accountability, I think, for our clean energy future.
Okay, rather than just being a subset of Department of Business and Economic Development.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it could be more responsive?
That's the idea. And I think for us, one of the things that we're going to start doing is trying to get out more to community, to go meet with people, be visible, try to answer people's questions, try to proactively get involved and engaged before things reach a tense point. We have a lot of projects coming. I think HECO is going to be announcing in the near future projects that they're going to pursue as their next round of clean energy projects. And so we want to make sure that we can be supportive of community and our state goals and make sure these things are aligned and we're all working together to achieve this clean energy future for the state.
Right, because besides the wind, we've got the large-scale solar farms. We've got offshore wind farms, potentially.
There's been some discussion of offshore wind. I think at this point, there's no approval pathway to do an offshore wind project. So there's discussion, I think, going on among agencies and some with the public and companies about what would this look like? How would we set it up? And certainly, I think HECO right now is anticipating something like offshore wind being a part of the total 100% clean energy future. And that's something that we want to pay attention to, both from a community point of view, business point of view, quality of life point of view, environmental point of view. The technology for offshore wind is evolving quickly. And one of the things we know about Hawaii, right, is that we have deep oceans with strong currents, and we don't really have a continental shelf that has kind of a smooth slope to put something on. So anything that we were to put in place for offshore wind would have to be cognizant of a lot of parameters. You know, we really have to pay attention to the environmental and economic effects that something like that would happen, and the technological, can we even do it? Do we have the technology to do it in our environment?
And the military is experimenting with some wave energy in Kaneohe. So do you have an update on that that you can share?
I think they just brought over a 500-kilowatt wave power project, and it's either just getting connected or they're still standing it up. But it's really exciting because one of the promising things of wave technology is that it doesn't interfere with airplanes, that, you know, it's not reflective, it doesn't affect flight paths. And so here in Hawaii, where we have a lot of planes flying over us, if we're able to put wave power out, then we might be able to deploy that more and have a new source of energy mix to add to our clean energy mix. And I think that technology is still in the development stage. So we have 500 kilowatts, I think that's what it is here. And now they're working on one megawatt version back on the continent. And one of the things that I think Hawaii has been focused on is being a leader in energy and climate. You know, we recognize climate change as a risk, as a threat to the state, and something that we need to be proactive on and work on. And our clean energy goals are one way that we're trying to tackle that, right? Reducing our emissions, but also putting in energy that we know we can rely on here. And so that in case there's an event, we're still able to generate power. And so we can be more resilient as an island. Beyond that, there's other forms of greenhouse gas emissions that we also want to start tackling. And so we have emissions from ground transportation, so cars, planes, boats, things like that. How are ways that we can clean that up? And that's something that I think is still to be determined and what we're starting to put pencil to paper on and try to figure out what to do. So last year, the legislature did look at a carbon tax or price on carbon. And I think there were still some policy questions that they had that they needed to work through. And so they asked the energy office to do a carbon pricing study. And that's due to the legislature next year. So right now we hired the University of Hawaii to undertake this study. And so they're looking at a carbon price as a, you know, what that would look like, maybe what the number might be, what would be covered by it. And then they're going to present that report to us and to the legislature. I'm sure the legislature will continue to look at this question this session as well, because I think it's a top of mind issue, is how do we really prepare Hawaii for climate change? How do we pay for it? How do we pay for it fairly? Which I think is something we really want to pay attention to, so that it's equitable, and folks who are who don't have as much are still not as adversely affected by us trying to figure this out.
And as part of that pricing study, will it include the effect of, you know, fuel, aviation, you know, and how that's tied to our economy? Is that going to be part of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's all to be figured out. And certainly we really want to be sensitive to tourism and to the daily travel of our daily life and how that's affected. And you know, there's still a lot of questions, I think, to be resolved. But it's important that we think about that climate change is happening and it's affecting us. And we need to do something about it. And we all have a role to play. And figuring out what is our role to play is, I think, where we are in that series of questions.
Then until that study comes out, we probably don't know if anything will stick, right? Or the lawmakers pass something because they want to have good data.
Right. We want to give them good information. Although, you know, they might come to the conclusion that they know what their questions have been answered, and they might decide to go ahead and do something about it. We'll see what happens this session.
You've been listening to a conversation we had with Scott Glenn, the new head of the State Energy Office. He was talking about Hawaii's energy goals and the challenges ahead.